Good morning, Running for Christ Ministries family, and good morning, Blog Talk Radio listeners all around the world. Welcome to our Saturday morning Bible teaching class. My name is Deaconess Loretta Welch, and I'm teaching you the book of Colossians. I am grateful for this opportunity and hope that you as listeners who tune in every week are learning right along with me. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together to uplift your name in song and prayer. We thank you for allowing us to be in relationship with you. We thank you for the everyday blessing of life itself. We wholeheartedly humble ourselves before you as we seek knowledge and understanding. Give us insight as we read your word and try to serve you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Now, as of last week, we learned that Paul addresses the churches, all of them the same way, in Colossae and Laodicea. With the same brotherly love, he continues to pray for them and encourages them to remain strong in their faith. He told them not to allow themselves to be caught up in laws, religion, or rituals because these things will not earn them salvation. Salvation doesn't depend on our own discipline, but on the power of Christ's death and resurrection. Following a list of religious rules can make you look good, but it can't change your heart. Amen. Let us begin. We're in chapter 3, the first verse. It says, "Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in place of honor at God's right hand." Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you have died to this life and your real life is hidden with Christ and God. And when Christ, who is in your life, is revealed, the whole world will share in all his glory. These verses mean that at this point in our life, we should be trying to turn away from our old ways and live a new life with a new approach and a new attitude. It means that we should be focusing on the things that await us in heaven. The things on earth are temporary. The things in heaven are eternal. So set your mind on Christ. Therefore, we can change how we live now. This is what the scripture calls the renewing of your mind, as in Romans 6:2. And also in 2 Corinthians 5:14, it tells us about turning away from the old life and being renewed through Christ. Okay, it says, "Because you have died to this world and your new life is hidden with Christ and God," the word hidden in this verse means concealed and safe, because it is a fact that we have already been given the victory. To help the Colossians develop a new mentality, Paul reminds them about their new identity. He tells them they died, which means your old life has no more power over you. Christ is not only in your life, but he gives us the power to live for him and to hope for the future. We should no longer view things as they appear to the natural eye, but in reference to their importance to God. John A.T. Robinson writes, "The baptized life means that a Christian is seeking heaven and thinking heaven. His feet are upon the earth, but his head is in the heaven. He is living like a citizen of heaven here on earth." Amen. And then I looked up Frank Bernard Hole. He explains our position clearly. And I'm reading this word for word. It says, "The counterpart to our identification with Christ in his death is our identification with him in his resurrection. The effect of the first is to disconnect us from man's world, man's religion, man's wisdom. The effect of the other is to put us in touch with God's world and with all that is there. These first four verses of chapter 3 unfold the blessedness into which we are introduced. Okay, and let's read verses 5 through 7. It says, "So put to death the sinful earthly lurking within you. Have not earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world." And so in these verses, we are to put to death our earthly nature and focus on the heavenly realm. This means the various forms of sin, such as fornication, unlawful sexual intercourse or immorality, uncleanness, meaning moral filth, not the physical dirtiness, passion, meaning uncontrolled lust, evil desire, intense and violent cravings, covetous, meaning excessive desire for wealth, greed, idolatry, meaning the worship of someone or something other than God as though it were God. Because the anger of God refers to God's judgment on these kind of behaviors, leading to God's final punishment of evil, remembering that we must one day stand before God. Paul is saying, you have been saved and cleansed by Christ. And as I look a little further, it says, "But now it is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature." Tony Evans puts it like this. He said, "Why go from a palace to the poorhouse spiritually?" Romans 6:15-22 states, "Why offer yourself as a slave to those things in which you have been free?" Amen. Paul reminds the Colossians that they used to indulge in these sins, but the grace of God came in and delivered them from that chapter of their lives, and now they're covered by the blood of Christ. In verses 8 to 11, Paul talks about that they have been redeemed at such a high cost that it's time to live the new life given by Christ. Paul says to remain true to their commitment to Christ. Again, Tony Evans broke it down. He says, taking a shower is an example. He says, when you take a shower, you put on clean clothes. Will your lifestyle match what Jesus has done, or will it dirty up what has already been made clean? Paul discusses dirty language and the ways you can sin with your mouth, lying and exaggerating or saying things to build up your own image. These things can destroy unity and relationships. Be committed to telling the truth. The church is not the place for sin. The church is to build up, create relationships, and help you live life leading you to God. The kingdom, again, it starts at home in this life here on earth. Okay, verses 12 says that since God chose you to be the holy people, he loves you, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercies, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you and you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Every Christian is in a continuing educational program with room for spiritual growth. We are children of God, a new creation. God's purpose is that we should be growing more and more like Christ. Therefore, we should never feel satisfied in our spiritual quest. We are to continue to strive to be Christ-like. Paul explains further that it does not matter nationality, circumcised or uncircumcised, that Christ is all that matters. He talks about slave and free. Christ is all that really counts. He represents the center, the entire Christian life. No barriers, no difference. Christians are equal in Christ, no distinction. Amen. Reading verses 12, we were told to clothe ourselves in signs of love. Paul offers us a plan that can be used in our everyday life. Since we were chosen by God before the foundation of the world, we can be saved. Just as we believe in God's will, we believe in our own responsibility. Ephesians 1:4, the Colossians were considered elect of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:4, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. That means that we were chosen before we even existed. And Romans 10:13 tells us to back that up. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So in knowing all of this, the Colossians may live in unity, bonded together by love. He continues on telling the church in Colossae that they are holy and beloved, meaning set apart to God from the world. We are to put on tender mercies, a heart of compassion. Kindness means unselfish spirit of doing for others. Meekness does not mean weak, but strength to deny yourself, bearing with one another. Have patience with others' failings and odd ways. Humility means absence of pride, long-suffering. It combines joy and a kind attitude toward others, along with the persistent in doing something despite the difficulty. Be forgiving. We are to practice forgiving others by looking at how many times God has forgiven us. Forgiving means to release a person from obligation that you have as a result of your own behavior. If God wants you to do something, he will give you peace about it. Let him be in control of that factor in your heart, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace you were called as members in one body of believers. Be thankful to God always. Amen. Reading on to verses 16 and 17. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your life. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankful hearts. And whatever you do, or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen. Here Paul tells us to let the gospel, the word of Christ, dwell in us, in our hearts and minds. As we are given this wisdom, use this wisdom to teach another the biblical truth. When breaking these verses down, the word of Christ refers to the teaching of Christ found in the Bible, dwelling us richly in all wisdom, admonishing one another. This means to warn or advise, even urge each other of what is to be avoided in a gentle, calm way. As I was reading this, I wanted to know what was the difference between psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So it says psalms are the inspired words sung by Israel to worship and are found in the book that shares the same name. Hymns, on the other hand, are songs of worship and praise addressed to God. Spiritual songs refer to religious poetry describing Christian experience. Using these types of songs, we sing with thanksgiving in our hearts. Whatever you do, do everything in the name of Jesus. Thanks to God, the Father, through him. When you do something in Jesus' name, at the end of the day, his power is behind you in your life. Amen. Let us continue on to, I'm trying to make it through here. Let us continue on to verses 18 through 22. It says, wives, submit to your husbands. As it's fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Here in these verses, Paul gives you the rules, three sets of household relationships. Number one is husbands and wives. It says, wives, submit yourself to your husband. This means to comply or agree with your husband. You are to willingly follow your husband. This does not mean that the wife has no input. Both were created in God's image equally, but they have different roles. It falls under the body of Christ. We are one, but we have different tasks. And make sure your submission is limited to what falls in the boundaries of God's will. The second is parents and children. No, wait a minute. Hold up. I'm moving a little too fast. It says, and make sure your husbands are commanded to love their wives. The wife is commanded to submit to the husband. Husbands are commanded to love their wives. This means being affectionate, sympathetic, not being bitter or resentful toward them, acting in love, putting aside your own interests in order to care for her. These are God's commands for the husband and the wife. Now, for the parents and the children ought to be handled with care, admonished. They are to obey their parents with an attitude of respect because this is what pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not cause your children to become discouraged by intentionally irritating or frustrating them. Treat them tenderly with loving kindness so their spirits will not be broken. Your goal is to lead them willingly, obedient, into obedience and righteousness, which blessings are endured with this type of behavior. The third thing that Paul talks about is slave owners and slaves. Here they're called servants. It says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them at all times, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverence and fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done. For God has no favorites. And again, it says, slave owners and slaves are called servants. They are told to obey their masters here on earth. You are to put your best effort. Work like you work for the Lord. Let your motivation be spiritual, because it is the Lord who you actually serve. God will reward your faithfulness. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for what you have done. God does not show favorites. In closing this chapter, this is a head. There is a head that you follow in the church, which is Christ. There is a head which you follow in your home. These things are designed for us to be aligned with Christ in his divine order. In Jesus' name, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us an order, a divine order, that if we live by, we can only end up with you for eternity. Father, I'm grateful to be a part of serving you, to be a part of teaching your word. I'm grateful for the listeners. I'm grateful for just being alive and knowing everything that you've done for me. Father, I wholeheartedly try to serve you. Pray that everybody that's listening, if they don't, if they're not exactly where you want us to be, that we're still striving to reach that goal. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. What a lesson. You know, that's just some good old house talk, you know, home talk, stuff for the house, you know,
yes.
Forgiveness, because God forgives us, striving to be like Christ. Everything we do should be like, be Christ-like, and I think that if we do everything in the name of Jesus, like you said, you can't go wrong. I think
right.
It'll make it all. I think it'll make it all go right. Is what they say. Just keep your mind stayed on Jesus.
Right.
Yeah, think about Jesus and all our decisions and all our actions, and I think everything will go right when we put Jesus first. You talked about building up the churches where you build up one another. Don't destroy relationships, because the church is to build one another up. Love and respect one another. You talked about a lot of stuff. There's a lot in there, like Colossians. And he talked about husband and wives, because everybody do have a role to play. The husband,
yeah.
The wives, the children, and then God will reward our faithfulness. And that was packed with some good stuff. Yeah. Do good, you get good.
That's right.
Yeah, so thank you. Thank you, Sister Deaconess Loretta, for the lesson.
Yeah.
We appreciate you, and I'm sure everybody got something out of that lesson. And just have a great day. Thank you.
All right, and you do the same.
Thanks. All right. Hey, get your coffee, your tea, your crumpet, your cookies. And after this song selection, we will start our morning worship service, okay? See you on the other side. Love this song.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day. There is no sunshine, nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised to tell me it's alright?
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up, but a power that
how much better I'm gonna be when this is over.
I smile, even though I hurt, see I smile. I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while.
What you do?
I smile.
Come on and
smile. It's so hard to look up when you get down. Sure would hate to see you give up now.
God's people.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine, nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night.
It ain't easy, but
today's a new day, but tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
The truth is,
I almost gave up.
Ghost power, y'all.
Fell from heaven like a shower now.
Now I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still.
I smile.
Come on.
Even though I'm empty, I smile.
Y'all feel that?
I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while.
Still.
I smile.
Hallelujah.
I smile. It's so hard to look up when you get down. Sure would hate to see you give up now.
God's people. You're in right now. Have joy, 'cause can't nobody take that from you.
I see you. Bye. Y'all want some more? Y'all want some more of that? Are y'all sure y'all want some more of that?
A new day, smile. The sun is smiling and shining on both sides of the street. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Running for Christ Ministry Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience. Brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. I will be reading for your hearing scripture from Colossians 1:15 through 23. That's Colossians 1:15 through 23. Here reads the Word of God, and it is titled, Christ is Supreme. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created, and is supreme over all creation. For through him God created things in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is the body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we just give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in the songs, prayers, and preach word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings, Lord. We are so grateful. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, awesome Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
So pressed and pulled on every side, I couldn't get no rest and couldn't see no end in sight. I needed God to pull me through, someone to show me what to do. Tired of being blue, yeah. Fill my life with such regrets, and every time I turned around, get my feet back on the ground. Many tears I had to cry. Sometimes it felt like I could die. Yeah. Somebody tell me why. Lord, you gave me hope.
Giving thanks to God for a brand new day. You know, new mercies come with these days and all kinds of blessings and all kinds of expectations. I'm reminded of Simeon, and I'm reminded of Anna in Luke chapter 2, how God had told them some things, just like he told us. We got a Bible. We read it. We know what's coming, right? So it makes us live in great expectation of awesome things to come our way, that are sent our way by the Lord God, our Father himself. Well, the world see all of these things as happening, and they don't know which way to go. But we know from Luke chapter 21 that when we see all these things happening, we know that the end is near. End of what? End of the church age. It's almost time for us to go home. Amen? Amen. So we're in a thankful mood every single day. Think about it. Today could be the day that Jesus comes back to get his church. That ought to make you want to say thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Anytime I feel down, I know I can depend on you to help me pull through.
Help me pull through.
The situations in my life, nobody said it would be easy to walk this way, to live this life today. But through it all, I can say that I never found such love from somebody who treats everybody like somebody. I can't express my love with 10,000 tongues. Open my mouth and say thank you, thank you, for every good thing in my life. I'm grateful, I gotta say thank you, thank you. There were times I lost hope, my faith was weak and my heart was sinking, and I couldn't see my way out. But then you came and showed me the words to say, the prayers to pray. Give me strength to find my way.
Open my mouth and say thank you. Open my mouth and say thank you. Giving your son, I wanna thank you, thank you. Cause Lord, you're the one, I wanna
thank you,
thank you. I wanna thank you,
I just
thank
you.
For all that you've done, you I wanna thank you,
thank you.
For giving your son,
you
I wanna thank you. Cause Lord, you're the one,
I wanna
thank
you.
Giving your son, I wanna thank you.
Thank you.
Cause Lord, you're the one, I wanna thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, oh, thank you. For all that you've done, I wanna thank you. For giving your son, I wanna thank you. Lord, you're the one,
I wanna
thank
you.
Just wanna say thank you.
I just wanna take this chance to open my mouth and say thank you.
Amen, amen. That first song was Wes Morgan, You Gave Me Hope, and that was Rufus Johnson with I Just Want to Take This Chance to Say Thank You. You know, that's the best way to start your morning out. Before you start telling God about the world you already know about, and before you start asking God for things he already gave you, amen, you should just wake up and say thank you. And that will change your whole day. Because when you say thank you, it's like that passage over there in Philippians chapter 4, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Here's what you want to hear. And remember what God has done. So when you say thank you, you thank people for things they've done. So when you wake up telling God thank you, guess what? You recognize what he's already done. And if you thank him right, if you recognize from the birth to now, okay, you're going to have a whole lot of thanks to give God. So your day starts out with thanks. Your day don't start out with lack, things you need that you don't have, okay, stuff you want to achieve that you haven't quite gotten there yet. Don't start it out like that. Start it out thanking God for what he's already done, because that is the formula that gets you to perfect peace. You know, you get a chance, go read it. Philippians chapter 4, 6 through about 9. That's where you get perfect peace. Don't worry. Pray about it. Tell God. Amen. Remember what he's done. Perfect peace. Amen. You know, there is no love that compares to the love that God has for us. None at all. Sometimes we can't even fathom how he could love us. You know, the us we present to people, oh yeah, well, you know. But that us that nobody knows about, that us that only God knows about, and in spite of knowing that us, he still loves us. And that is why you hear so many songs that talk about, amen, God's love or no greater love. Rudy Currents wrote a song, and it's called No Greater Love. And he meditates on that thought about how much God loves us. And we need to remind ourselves of that. Check this out.
Dear Father, yeah, I know you see me.
I cannot hide, you know what I have done. Yet you decided to love me anyway. No, I can't. can I lie? How do you see beyond my flaws? No, I don't know why you would save somebody like me. That would claim a filthy rag.
What kind of love is this?
Yeah. That can still see the good when it's all bad.
What kind of love is this?
That would lay down his life just for me. None greater. None greater. Oh, there is no greater love.
No, there is no greater love.
No, there is no greater love.
No, there is no greater love. You took my case, clear the debt, I could not pay. Yet you decided to plead, not guilty. Oh,
for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. We thank you, Pastor. Which takes us to Time to Talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own brother, Deacon Sir Charles Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Deacon Sir Charles Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. That song we just heard, I hope you heard what it says. It's power. It's power. It's power in that name. And the same power that's in that name is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The same power that's in that name is the same power that you have access to right now, because Jesus is seated on the right-hand side of the Father interceding for you. The same power that is in that name is the one, when it says salvation was given, there was no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Power in that name. So as we go before the Lord right now, I want you to understand this. If you're a child of God, this could be a real simple prayer. Everything has already been taken care of, because you have to come to understand just who he really is. It's power. It's power in that name. John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and everything was created by him. And that's you too. So let's just go to the throne right now. And I need you to leave everything that you're taking to the throne with him, because he's the only one that can do something about it. Lord God, our Father, we thank you once again for allowing us into your presence. Father, more than that, we thank you for thinking of us a long time ago. Back when you set this world into existence, you thought of us. And you said, it has to be a way that I get them back to me. So, Father, we thank you for the fact that your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, took it upon himself to come down and stand in our stead so that he could bridge the gap that was between us. You see, Father, there was a gap between us. And we sometimes don't understand that because, see, although everything was made perfect in this world at the beginning, we messed it up. We messed it up. Sin came into the world, and we know you, Father, can look upon those sins. So something had to happen to make it where we'll be able to be right where we are right now with you. And that's something that happened was Jesus going to that cross, but not just going to the cross, but getting up out of that grave that he was in. All power was given to him when he came back, Father. But right now, we're here because we have some situations going on. You told us that we was going to have stuff that would knock us off our page. But you also told us this, Father, in your word. And Psalms, I think it was David that said, I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened, and he has heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer, withheld his love from me. Father, you tell us in your word to cast all our cares on you. You tell us to humble ourselves and pray. Just like Pastor talked about earlier, Father, you tell us to pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. And see, what we, like I say, what we have to come to understand is we pray unto the God that made all of this. We pray unto the only true and living God, Father. So help us to understand, Father, that even though we had something that kept us up last night, that might have kept us up for a week, something we woke up this morning and was worrying about that, if we bring it to you, because you tell us in Jeremiah, if you'll call on me and come and pray to me, that you'll listen to us. If we seek you, you'll find us. You already know where we are, but you just want to hear from us, Father. So that's what we're doing right now. But we got to leave it with you. We have to leave it with you. And we thank you for that, Father. Jeremiah tells us also that you know the plans that you have for us. Father, it's not anything that came to us right now that you didn't know was coming. But at the same time, you want us once again to do that. Pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. You see, back in the beginning, you set all of this in place. It's already taken care of. But while we're here, Father, in these mortal bodies, we have things that turn us or take us off our page. But we just have to remember. We just have to remind ourselves that we serve the God that listens and that hears and that understands. There is nothing about us. Your word tells us that you know the hairs on our head. You never go to sleep. You never rest. You're always attentive to what we have to say. You bend the ear to listen to what we have to say, Father. So right now, the prayers that are coming up to you, you are hearing. What we do have to understand is this, though, Father, we also have to know that your ways are not our ways. And a day to you is like 1,000 years sometimes. So we have to patiently wait for the answer. But while we're patiently waiting, and I think the verse tells us that, Father, if we wait upon the Lord, if we wait upon the Lord, we'll mount up wings like an eagle, we'll soar, but we'll never be hungry, we'll never be thirsty, we'll never want for anything, Father. But we have to do it according to your will. Father, right now, all I ask, because you tell us to make our requests known to you. You tell us to tell us what it is that's on our hearts and our minds. And Father, all I ask right now is that you do what you're going to do for each and every person that's listening right now, Father. I pray right now, Father, myself, for those that are in the healthcare field, Father. I pray for the nurses and the doctors as we go through these situations we go through right now in this world, that you give them the strength and the courage to continue on to what you have to do. Father, I pray for those that have lost loved ones. You know, everybody has suffered loss at some time or another, financial loss, physical loss. But when you lose a loved one, Father, it's a little bit different. You yourself were grieved. You were angry when they put your son on that cross because you ripped that veil wide open, and the earth shook when they did that to him. So you understand, Father, that helps us to understand, Father, that you know how we feel when it comes to that. But you also tell us to comfort each other, Father. So right now, Father, I just ask that you comfort that one that has suffered loss. Help them to understand like David did when he lost that child. He grieved. He mourned. It's while the child was still alive. But when the child went home to be with you, he got up, he cleaned himself up, and he told people. He said, although that child might not be able to come to me right now, I will one day be able to go where he is. Help us understand, Father, that this is not our home. You call us a peculiar people, but this is not what you plan for us to spend forever with you. Forever with you is in heaven. Father, we pray for those that are speaking your word this morning. We pray for those that are on the front line because of you, Father. Continue to give them that courage. But, Father, if they know what you know, and I know they know what you know, and what we know that love you is that, Father, we know we already win. So, Father, I pray for that one right now that doesn't know you. Help them to come to the realization as to who you are, Father. So you don't force people to do anything. But you've sent many people in front of us, and there are many people that's going to come behind us when we're not here anymore. If you continue to let this world be as it is, but Father, let it be us too, that those of us that do know you go out into the highways and the byways. Yep, we got situations going on too. Everybody got something going on, Father, but you told us to pray about everything. Don't worry about nothing. And you also tell us to seek you first and your kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. And that tells me, Father, that everything is already taken care of. Father, once again, let us not forget. Let us remember the last time we had a situation going on and you took care of it for us. But we also just have to remember it as to who you are. You are a holy God, and we are required to come to you as who you are. See, it's only one of you. There is no other God but you. But the great part about it, Father, is that you've adopted us into your family. You call us your children. And you tell us, just like any father would, if a child has a problem, to bring it to you. And you'll do something about it. Yep, we might have to wait for the answer. But, Father, you will answer. Because you said yourself that you will. And the one thing that you don't do is lie. You don't lie. you keep your promises. When Peter was going down in that water and walking across that sea, and all of a sudden all he had to say was, save me. And you brought him onto the boat right away. You know, Father, we can keep on talking for a long time this morning, and I really could. But right now, Father, once again, like Samuel said, far be it that I not pray for everybody. So, Father, I'm praying for each and every one out there, Father. But I know that you're going to answer their prayers. You're going to answer it according to the way. Open up the door. Open up their eyes. Show them the avenue, because you see, you got people in place everywhere, Father. And, Father, just continue to do what you do. I can't help but be thankful right now. You know, like Lamentations say, every day when we wake up, great is your mercies. New mercies every day we see. You sit and wait for us to get up because you got something else waiting for us. And it's nothing better that I could ever think of is knowing that the true and living God just cares about me, and not just me, Father, about each and every one of us. So, Father, I thank you for that. Right now, I'm going to get up from here, because at the same time, I know what you're capable of. I know what you're capable of. So let others see, Father, this day, just what you're capable of. Open their eyes like you did for Gehazi when Elijah was out and they were surrounded by soldiers all around. And you opened his eyes and you showed him those angels on the hills with chariots that far amassed those people that were around them. Open the eyes of that one, Father, today and let them see. Because, see, you told us you would never leave us, and you said you'd never forsake us, that you with us 24/7, 365. And, Father, that's what we stand on. But let us also go out and do what it is that you told us to do. And that's just to make others that don't know you come to know you when the opportunity presents itself. Thank you this morning, Father, for the opportunity to talk to you once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You can use me, Lord, so you can use me. Power in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Deacon Sir Charles Tate, for praying and making our request known to God. You know, we appreciate you, and just have a great day. Okay? All right. I am truly enjoying the service. and I hope you are too. And once again, I want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessings. Amen? Okay, time for the preached word. A message from God, the best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is our very own talented man of God, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate. Prepare to receive Associate Pastor Terrence Tate coming his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
You did not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear. But you created me to worship daily. So I'ma leave it all right here. Help me say it. Yeah. Create me to fear. but you created me to worship daily. So I'ma leave it all right here.
Blog Talk Radio listeners all around the world. What a song we just heard. Yeah, I grant you God, our Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to come to you with thanksgiving, Father. Father, I thank you for trusting me with your word, trusting me to preach your word. Father, I just ask that you have your way during the time that I'm preaching your word, and you move me completely out of the way, and let it be all of you and none of me. Because I am not perfect without you, but I'm everything in you. So I just ask, Father, that you have your way in the service and let your word be preached the way you want it to be preached through me today. It is in the name of Jesus, the highest name that could always be praised, and I pray, amen and amen. Good morning, all Blog Talk Radio listeners all around the world. We just heard a song that talked about putting our trust in God. Putting our trust in God. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. And the scripture that the Holy Spirit led me to use is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And it reads as follows. In all thy way, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You know, the first part of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord. If there was a time to trust in the Lord, it's now. Can I say that again? If there was a time to trust in the Lord, it is now, because God is taking the church in a new direction. And when we don't put our trust in God, and when we don't trust the direction of God, we don't get the opportunity to experience God the way that we want to experience God. The second part of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It doesn't say trust in the Lord with some of your heart. It said trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. That means when you don't understand the direction that God is leading you to, ask him which way he wants to go. When you don't understand the direction that God is telling you to go with your ministry, ask him which way he wants your ministry to go for him. But don't lead to your own understanding, because leading to your own understanding will lead you down a path of destruction. Leading to your own understanding will cause you not to see the blessings of God the way you want to see the blessings of God. Leading to your own understanding will cause you to worry a lot and trust God less. And it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That didn't say he will never direct your path. He said he will direct your path. That means when people let you, that means when people stop helping you get to where you want to go, that means God will always be with you in the direction that he wants you to go. And it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He didn't say in some ways acknowledge him. He said always, in all ways acknowledge him. That means when you have, I got to say this, that means when you have somebody in your family that is not doing God's will, you should worry about it. You should acknowledge him about it. You should acknowledge God about it and trust that he will lead that person to in the direction that he wants them to go. Because he said in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. When you don't understand why your unsaved child is not doing God's will, don't ask them. Don't keep asking them, why aren't you doing God's will? Put it in God's hands. Trust God with that. Trust God with that prayer about the about the wayward child and watch God move on his behalf or her behalf. If you have someone in your family that is addicted to drugs or alcohol, and you don't know which way to go, grab your child or grab your loved one who's addicted to drugs or alcohol and get on your knees and tell God, God, I don't know why my family member is addicted to drugs or alcohol, but I am trusting you. I am putting my trust in you regarding that situation. Because it's better to obey God than, the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Now, when we trust man more than we trust God, we don't have respect for God, nor do we have respect for ourselves. Can I say that again? When we trust man more than we trust God about what we are dealing with in this life, we have no respect for God, nor do we have respect for ourselves. When you get terminated or laid off from your job, and God tells you to go find another job, don't sit back and tell God, God, I'm not going to do what you told me to do regarding this job thing. Tell God, God, I will trust you. I will put my trust in you because I know you will provide me with another job that pays more money and that makes me happy. See, church, we have a tendency to tell God what we don't want to do. When God is saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? He said this in Hebrews chapter 13. I forget what verse, but he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That means I will always be by your side no matter what you are going through. He's telling us to trust him no matter what happens. He's not telling us anything to hurt us. When he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, in a way he's telling us, put your trust in me. He's asking us, where is your trust for me? He's asking us, are you going to trust me no matter what you're going through? He's not telling us anything that won't help us get through this life. He's telling us these things so that we could get through this life relying on him and depending on him, because church, God has always been trustworthy. How can we not serve? How could we not trust a trustworthy God? He's been trustworthy for 2,022 years. And the main reason why many of us haven't seen the provision of God the way we want to see the provision of God is because we don't trust the direction of God. When we get a bill we cannot pay, the first thing we do is we worry about how we're going to pay it. When we get a bill we cannot pay, the first thing we need to do is say, God, I don't know how I'm going to get this bill paid, but I am putting my trust in you regarding this situation because you are a trustworthy God, and you will continue to be a trustworthy God. Church, trusting God is way better than trusting people. Trusting God is much better than trusting the devil. The devil will lead you down a path of destruction. But a trustworthy God will never leave you nor forsake you. He will give you perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on him. He will be your wonderful counselor if you let him. What am I saying to you? Trusting God also has physical health benefits. Trusting God will cause your blood pressure to come down. Trusting God will keep your sugar from going up or down. Trusting God all the time will keep you from getting migraine headaches. Trusting God all the time will also keep you from getting ulcers. What am I saying to you? I'm saying it's time that we, the church, put our trust totally in the hands of God. Because as I said, he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will always be with us. And he is the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. All we have to do is lean and rely on him when we face the circumstances of this life. Yes, the circumstances of this life are going to be a challenge. But that's when we need to tell God, God, no matter what happens, I will trust you. Because you did not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear. You created me to worship, so I'm going to leave it all right here. That's what God wants. God wants us to trust him no matter what we are going through in our life. To all of the other parents that are listening that have disabled children that can't walk or talk or see, don't give up on them. Trust God. Trust the Lord about them, because God gave them to you so that God put them in your life so that they could be a blessing to you. And whenever you give up on your children or your disabled child, you give up. You give up on the blessings that God has given you. So, to all those parents who have, to all of the other parents who have disabled children who can't walk or talk or see, don't give up on them. Trust God. Keep doing what you're doing for that child. And trust God, because God gave them to you so that they could be a blessing to you, and so that you could be a blessing to somebody else, and so that you could show other parents how to deal with physically challenged children and adults. But church, it's time to trust God, because God will never lead us astray. We've led him astray, but God has never led us astray in 2022 years. So why would he start now? So whenever you're facing a situation that you don't understand, or whatever God is telling you to do that is uncomfortable for you, trust God. Let him lead you in the direction that he wants you to go. And watch your life become a rainbow. Now, it's not going to be easy, but if you continue to trust God, you will never be the same. If you continue to trust, if you continue to put your trust in the hands of God, your life will become a testimony for somebody else. And as I close, to everybody that's a part of the body of Christ who has a ministry, if God gives you a ministry that's too hard for you to deal with, don't give up on it. Keep working at it. But what you do when you keep working at it is you trust God and watch God move. Put your trust in God totally and watch your life transformed. Watch your life be transformed in front of your eyes. Oh, Father. Oh, Heavenly. Oh, Jehovah Makedis. The God who sanctifies. You sanctified this time for me to preach your word. And I preach it the way you wanted your word preached. But Father, I didn't preach your word the way I wanted to, but I preached your word the way you wanted me to for your glory, so that you would be glorified, so that you would be happy. Because, Father, when I preach your word, it's not about me. It's all about you. And you moved me completely out of the way. And, Father and Holy Spirit, you had your way in me today. And Father, I am so grateful that you chose me 14 years ago to preach your word on the first Saturday of every month. And I thank you for the opportunity to let me speak your word the way you want your word preached. Father, I ask that you let this word that you have given me to preach be a blessing to somebody. Because, Father, once again, it was all about you and none of me, because if it was all about me, I wouldn't be doing it. Father, it was a privilege to preach your word. Now as I get ready to close this prayer, I ask that you have your way in the Blog Talk Radio listeners' lives and let this message minister to their hearts. Let it purify their hearts. Let it touch their hearts to the point where they go out and minister this word to somebody else. Father, It is in your precious and holy name that I pray this prayer. Amen and amen. And thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. What an amazing word. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, that if God be for us, who be against us? Amen. So if we know that the Lord who created the heavens and the earth and everything, why would he be against us? Amen. Why would we not trust our lives to him? Why would we not trust the choices that we have to make to him? Why would we not trust the fact that he could deliver us and protect us and keep us? Why would we not trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean on him for everything that we need? We know, you know, as human beings, we are self-destructive, unintentionally self-destructive. Sometimes we do things and we don't even know that we're destroying our very selves. But the Lord will always keep us, and he will always protect us. And why are we not trusting him? You know, that verse, we say it, and I think we say it so nonchalantly to just, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You know, we say that we trust the Lord in all of our ways, but we don't. You know, there are times when we go our own way and we create our own path, and the Lord is with you, but he didn't tell you to go that way. But praise God for his grace and mercy that he will get us on the right path when we go astray. Amen. He doesn't walk away from us. We walk away from him. So this word was amazing, and it was a reminder word for us to trust the Lord in everything. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And if he is for us, then who could ever possibly be against us? Amen. So if you were in class on Wednesday, there was kind of like a theme that we all talked about. So in this particular case, Pastor Tate, he said what he said. Amen. The theme on Wednesday was God said what he said. So today, Pastor Tate, you said what you said, and you said the word of God. And we say thank you for that awesome word. Amen. Amen. So good morning, y'all. If you hear my voice, you know what day it is. It's Saturday. Happy Saturday, first Saturday in the month of March. Time is just marching on, literally. Amen. So just a couple of announcements for you. Tomorrow, Sunday, March the 6th, we will hold our in-person worship service. Service begins at 10 a.m. with our praise team leading us in song and worship. We will hear the preached word by our own pastor. Oh, I believe you are welcome to join us. All that we ask is that you wear a mask. If you do not have one, no worries. One will be provided for you at no cost. Also, if you're not able to attend in-person services or just not comfortable with doing it just yet, it's no problem. You can also listen to our service on Blog Talk Radio at 1 p.m. by visiting our church website, rfcm.org, and clicking on Recorded Sunday Services. And here, so you can still get your church in, even if you attended Bedside Baptist on that day. Every Sunday at 4 p.m., our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn will be on Blog Talk Radio with her show entitled Bring Back the Family. Amen. So please visit our Christian resources page at our church website, again, rfcm.org, for more information on calling in or logging in to listen to her show. Don't forget, Bible teacher training class is on Mondays at 7 p.m. Assistant Pastor Janice Tate is the teacher for that class. Also, every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we hold our Bible reading class here on Blog Talk Radio. Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks will be teaching from the Book of Psalm chapters, I want to say one, I'll finish 100, so what, 101 to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 105, 5 chapters, 101 to 105. So the questions are available online, again, on our church website, rfcm.org. Just click on Bible classes. Or in church, if you attend on Sundays, they will be on the back table. For those of us who do attend in person, always check the back table. There's always good stuff there. There's a lot of information back there. There's a lot of free stuff back there. So please just make sure you check it either on your way in or on your way out. Amen. Amen. So every Saturday, Bondage Breaker Ministries holds their ladies' Bible class from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pastor Janice Tate is the teacher. So for more information on participating in her class, rfcm.org, our church website, is the place to go. Again, under Christian Resources, and you'll find the information that you need there to be able to log in. If you'd like to pay your tithes and offerings, please visit rfcm.org, which y'all know by now is our church website, amen, and click on tithes and offerings. If you would like to give an offering to the, a love offering to the preacher that preached today, Pastor Terrence Tate, please go to our church website and make sure to specify Pastor Terrence Tate's name when you give your offering, and we will see to it that they receive it. Amen. The Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with them. Amen. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says to rejoice always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And we know that if we turn every single time that we worry into a prayer or a communication session with God, because all prayer is talking to God, communication with God, and anytime we know we're having a conversation, you talk, I listen, then I talk, and you listen. It's the same thing with God. We can't just talk at God. We have to talk to God, and guess what? God talks back to us, amen? So when we turn those little worries into time to communicate with God and prayers to the Lord, then we find ourselves over time praying not only first, but praying continually, amen? So we are going to ask that you pray for those who are sick, those who are shut in, hospitalized, incarcerated. Of course, make sure to pray for one another personally that you know. Don't forget to pray for yourself, our children, our nation, the world, our leaders on every level, and they're always facing major decisions that affect all of us in some way, shape, or form. You know, you can't please everybody. Somebody's always going to be upset. That's why we have to continually pray. Amen. Continue to pray for the many missing and exploited, those who are being trafficked and, you know, suffering any type of abuse on any level. Amen. All of our brothers and sisters, of course, in Christ all over the world and just so, so much more. We ask special prayers for our own Mother Irma Miller, who was in Wyandotte Hospital. Please continue to pray for Tyrone Hamilton. Pray for all of our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries. We love them so much. Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia, amen. Continue to pray for all of the bereaved families everywhere. You know, COVID is still a thing, but it's not the only thing, okay? There are a lot of other things and reasons why people are passing away. So we need to remember to lift up those in prayer who are bereaved or who are hurting due to the loss of friends and loved ones. Our prayers and sympathy go out to Deaconess Anita Chambers in the loss of her father, and Quinaya, who is Anita's daughter, in the loss of her grandfather. So please keep them lifted up in prayer. Continue to pray for our world, again, our leaders, and especially for Ukraine and all the people that live in that country that are fleeing for their lives. You know, like I said, I'm not a political person. I don't know anything about any type of politics. It's just too confusing for me. But I do know that the situation between Russia and Ukraine is just not right. Amen. So anytime you have destruction of homes and lives and, you know, children and people being displaced, you know, just for greed and capitalism, and because I want what you have, and being covetous over things that don't belong to any of us, amen, there's definitely a need and a reason there to pray. So we need to continue to pray for those all over the world, not just our brothers and sisters in Christ, but for everyone. Amen? All right, so as we switch gears, it's a new month, y'all. So y'all already know that we got some birthdays this month. So we only, what, 5 days into the month already? So happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who have celebrated their birthday this week or who are celebrating today. Y'all know Saturday is my favorite day. Amen. So y'all already know, how we do for our Run for Christ Ministries family. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, we got some good birthdays this month. Amen. So we want to say happy birthday to Pastor Jonathan Tate, who celebrated his birthday on the 1st of this month. He started it all off for us. So we have two significant age birthdays this month. Amen. These are like big numbers. Like if you go to the store and buy a balloon, it'll have that number on there. It's not a random number. It's a transitional number. Amen. So we want to say happy birthday to Alana, who will be celebrating her 21st birthday, super significant number, on the 7th of this month. Y'all already know my baby, Amir, he's celebrating his 18th birthday, super significant number, also on the 7th. Daylin is just growing up before our eyes. We, you know, her parents were at Running for Christ before she was even around, so we've got to see her from birth, amen. So she will be celebrating her birthday on the 8th. James McClendon, Sarah Tate McClendon, our new preacher, amen, at Run for Christ Ministries, her husband, he will be celebrating his birthday on the 10th, and Zeke and Ness June Rogers, one of our teachers, one of our altar callers, she's absolutely amazing. She will be closing out the month with her birthday on the 22nd. So we say happy birthday to everyone. Y'all know y'all will be getting shouted out all month long. We love you, and we send you kisses and hugs and all types of stuff for your birthday. Amen. Amen, y'all. So last but not least is your devotional for today. And it says, I will pray. Oh, wait. Kat just texted me. Darius Freeman is having his 21st birthday on the 17th. Okay, so I'm going to put him on my list. Darius Freeman, you on the list now. You're going to be celebrating a big, again, 21 on the 17th. So I'm going to slide him in there and make sure that I read that for the rest of the month. Thank you, Kat. I appreciate it. So your devotional for today, it says, I will praise before my breakthrough. Amen. And this is by Prone to Wander. So it reads, they went out at the head of the army saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Mount Seir, and their enemies were defeated. And that's 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. And it reads, for most of us, facing a battle means gathering all our best resources, pulling up all our strength, and getting straight to work. Then we prepare our hearts to, quote, expect the worst and hope for the best. It's natural for us to thank God for things past, but do you thank him for the battles that have yet to be won? In 2 Chronicles, the king and his people set out to battle. At the front line, the king appointed people to sing. Yes, to sing to the Lord with praises. Give thanks to God. His love never quits. How odd to gather up the courage to situate yourself at the head of the battle, not to attack, but to sing. But that's what the people did. They started proclaiming who God is, thanking him and praising him for the victory that is to come. Actually, what's more mind-blowing is not what the people did at that time, but what God did. As the people were singing praises, God defeated their enemies. The people set their eyes on the victory that is ahead, and hallelujah, our almighty God never fails. They could have sang songs about their circumstances. They could have even begged God for help. That would have been totally appropriate given the situation they were in, but their weapon was worship. When we position our hearts to praise God, no matter our circumstances, we are acknowledging that the battle is not ours, but his. When we declare who he is to our circumstances, we allow him to lead us to victory. As a people of a powerful, mighty God, we are not called to remind him of our circumstances. He already knows them. Instead, we are to remind our circumstances of who our God is. So what are your battles? Fears, your doubts, addictions, sickness? Our Almighty God already knows them. There's no need to fret. Start praising him today wherever your place is in the battle. So our prayer that we say together today, Almighty God, thank you for being with us. Thank you for being our solid foundation, our mighty rock. we continue to look to you, especially when we don't seem to understand our circumstances. We continue to praise you in every season, and we continue to trust that your presence in our life is more than enough for us. So be filled with the Holy Spirit and be encouraged today as you keep on keeping on. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And those are your announcements.
Amen. And your sermon. I'm telling you.
Right.
You know, it's awesome. People probably like, so she must have got together with the preacher and they worked out, this is what I'm going to close. This is going to be the devotional close. And that was awesome, Crystal. I appreciate it. You and Terrence together. Amen. Y'all got it done today. And I just praise God for you and appreciate you. Thank you.
Amen. You're
and
welcome.
Getting ye around here. It's getting real ye.
Yes. Getting real ye over
you.
Here.
Yes, ye. Well, ye. Anyway, ye.
Hallelujah. Girl. Oh, my God.
Girl. Let's bring some year in the year. Amen. But anyway, Jesus like, see
that's
y'all
why.
Two
that's
together
why.
2 seconds and look
that's
like
why. Yes.
It's all her fault, Jesus. She was the one being awesome. It's her fault.
No, it was Terrence, remember? I was
oh,
at
yeah.
the end,
Terrence
so it started,
started
way before me. Yeah.
It's Terrence started, yeah.
Prayers.
That's him and Kat with her effervescent self, yeah.
That's it.
You know, got people all hyped up and Deacon Tate praying like Jesus right in the room. It's they fault.
In the room,
it
yes.
ain't us, Crystal.
Yep.
They be blaming
y'all.
Us, but it ain't us. It's them.
Well, it's you
praise
too,
because
you was playing the song. You was playing
really?
The song. But
really?
Yeah, so yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, me last. It's all y'all.
So it's just, it ain't you. It's just all us.
No. All
anyway.
Y'all. Yep, that's it.
I love you, Crystal. Hey,
I love
man.
You too.
Be blessed. That's the
you
thing.
Too.
Jesus, she just got better than me at this. Jesus, she blamed people better than me.
That's right.
Be blessed. Tell me and we said hey. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, while I make these couple announcements, I'm going to give you an opportunity to grab something for communion. Go get something that symbolizes the bread and something liquid that symbolizes the blood. And while I'm making these announcements, you can be doing that. And then when you get back, you get ready to have communion, then we'll have communion. Amen. First thing I want to talk about is tomorrow. I'll be closing out the sermon series on the book of Galatians. Amen. It's been an awesome experience. The Lord has blessed me to be able to memorize the entire book, and I thank him for that. Now, I'm not talking about memorizing every word, but memorizing what's in each chapter and what's talked about there. And so when these opportunities come up for me to use it with people who are suffering from what they're suffering from, then it'll be a blessing. So we'll be closing out that sermon series on Galatians, and then we'll be going into the book of James. Amen. Lord willing that we're still here in this world and ain't got raptured or personally raptured. We'll be going into the book of James since we're going through the epistles chronologically. In other words, in the year they were written or estimated to be written, we're going in that order. The epistles teach us how to live the Christian life and help us to understand how we're made right with God. Can't wait till we get the book of Romans. Amen. That is the first book of the New Testament that the Lord actually had me to memorize all 16 chapters. And there's some awesome stuff right there. So anyway, we'll be going into the book of James next, and tomorrow we'll be closing out Galatians. Also, many of you asked me repeatedly who's preaching. And, you know, sort of let you know from week to week. Well, the Lord's doing something different this year. He has given me a tentative preaching schedule that goes from March to the end of the year for Saturday and Sunday. And you don't have to remember or write it down. All you have to do is go to our church website, rfcm.org. And then click on worship services or just hover over it. And the first one you'll see is preaching schedule for 2022. Click on that and it gives you the entire preaching schedule for 2022 on Sundays. It's for the associate pastors on Sunday. and it's for the associate pastors and friends, okay, on Saturday. Amen. Amen. So they are both there, and then you can know from Sunday to Sunday who's preaching. If it's not an associate, of course, it's going to be me. Okay? And then on Saturdays, they're going by Sunday. The first name is first Sunday, second Sunday, third, fourth. If there's a fifth, there's taking care of that. So you can find that church website, rfcm.org. Hover over worship services and then click on preaching schedule for 2022. And then you don't have to ask me who's preaching. You can know. Amen. Amen. That's not for you to have your picks and chooses either. You know, we all got our favorite preachers, our favorite choirs. See, I'm running for Christ. We ain't got but one. So the praise team got to be your favorite. Amen. Or you ain't never coming to church because, you know, amen, we just have that one. So every Sunday should be your favorite Sunday. Amen. That's the way we set it up so that it's not a pastor worship church, but it's a church where people who believe in Jesus Christ, like-minded believers in Christ, come to worship. Amen. Amen. And that's all I got. Now, you ought to have some bread, something that symbolizes the bread, and you ought to have something that symbolizes the wine. And I am going to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and they were having a horrible time at having church. Amen. And they were so bad at it that some folks were even dying because they was treating the Lord's things lightly, and God does not play that. Amen. Even though we're his children, just like your parents' children, I'm sure they touched you up sometime when you got into that area where they don't play that. And so the Lord don't play that. And so the Lord said many of them had fallen asleep, and that meant they had passed away. Okay, and some were sick because they were not handling the things of God with the proper respect. So whenever you go into God's house, make sure that you treat his house with respect, because it's not up to the deacons and deaconess to watch what you're doing. God's watching how you treat him and his house and his stuff. And if you treat it like it ain't nothing or common or ordinary, Lord have mercy on you. You better ask Aaron what happened to this little crazy boy that's going up in God's house acting any kind of way. They ain't come out. They went to church and they ain't never come out. Amen? So you might want to treat God's stuff better than the Corinthians did. But Paul was writing to them to let them know how to have a service, which really begins in chapter 8 and goes all the way to chapter 14. About worship services and how they conduct themselves when they come together to meet. And so they would meet for the Lord's Supper a little bit more regular than we did. Some of them would do it daily. Okay, some folks do it weekly. Some churches do it monthly. Okay, and that's where we are. At Running for Christ, we do it monthly, first Saturday, first Sunday. Okay, now you have your bread, you have your symbol of the bread, you have your symbol of the wine, and let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today, and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Jesus, that every time we get to do this, we get to reconnect with you, and not only that, but we get to remember how you paid for our salvation, what it cost you, and we connect with that suffering too, and we show our appreciation, our remembrance of your death, burial, and resurrection. Every single time that we do this, we thank you for it, Lord. We want to confess now every single sin, Father, even the hidden stuff, even the stuff we do over and over, and we don't think we have to keep telling you we are sorry about that. But we confess it all right now. We lay ourselves bare before you into every compartment of our lives, and what is not right, we confess that now. And we thank you for your forgiveness and for your cleansing. Father, bless now this bread. Bless now this wine, these symbols of the body and blood of Jesus that we are going to use in this remembering service, this reminding service of how Jesus purchased our salvation for us by shedding his blood and allowing his body to be bruised. In Jesus' name, we pray and give thanks. And we honor you today. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 23 through 26, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let us all eat together. "And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let us all drink together. Amen. 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 Would have been nice if I had a song to close on. The Bible says after that, they all sang a hymn and went out. Okay, I'm not going to sing, but Howard Hewitt is. God bless you. God keep you. We'll see you when we see you. Amen. Love each and every one of you.
Have our second time around. But before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in the light every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where my strength. Lift my eyes beyond the sky. Only he can save my life, and only he can hear my cry. I wanna thank you, God, for giving me one more day to raise my voice and to sing your praise. I sing it out loud, I sing it all day. This song is my
gave me your love. You gave me your son. Now I say it.